up here because this is where I can rest my Bible. The microphone, of course, isn't working. Some of you were almost giddy thinking that I wouldn't be able to preach tonight. Your enthusiasm was very discouraging. Some of you said I wouldn't be able to remember what I was going to say. And some of you thought it was going to be short. Well, unfortunately for you, my battery on that laptop is full. It is strong, so you're going to get the full thing. But this happens from time to time. This storm went past just as quick as it came, and understanding it's out kind of all over the area a little bit, so hopefully that is not the result of a car accident or anything like that, so I'm sure they'll get it resolved this evening, but thankful for that you're here, and before we begin our lesson, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you've blessed us in this life. We're thankful that we do have the rain. And times like this, when the power goes out, we're reminded of how convenient our lives are. We're reminded that we do have great conveniences, and the power that's out tonight is a reminder that many people around the world do not have electricity. They do not have running water. They don't have the conveniences we have in this life, and we are thankful that you blessed us in the abundance of things that make our lives so easy, and we know that we are often not thankful for these things, but we know that they all come from you, and we know that you love us and help us to share these great blessings with others, and all that we receive we should be ready to give as well. Continue to be with Randy Gupton, Robert Williams, the McMahon family, so many others that we have thought about lately who are in various stages of poor health and distress. We pray that you put your hand upon them and give them everything that they need at this time. We're thankful that we can open your word tonight and study and come to a better understanding of your will for our lives. Continue to love us and forgive us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're dealing with something that oftentimes we all go through, and it's sort of a part B of the part A of this morning as we discuss worry. Because tonight's lesson goes along with that in the sense that tonight's topic is universal, and we need to know what to do with this subject when we're confronted with it. And that is simply just the idea of disappointment. Every single day of our lives, I suppose, we're going to have a moment when we are disappointed, when expectations are not met, when things do not go as planned. They could be something minor, they could be something major, but every single day, we know we're going to confront that. And a disappointment usually is not something very serious, but it can be, of course. Disappointment usually is something a little minor. It's something that happens quite often. It's just, well, I wish this would have been better. You go to a baseball game and you're a fan of a team, you go and your team loses. Well, you still had a good time, but you're disappointed. But we know that it can be serious at times, and talking about disappointment in others and maybe failed marriages, maybe disobedient children and things like that. Those also are disappointments. The main point tonight, we always talk about the main point. What's the one sentence that summarizes the whole lesson? And that is that disappointments are going to greet you, but they don't have to defeat you. Reality is that you are going to be greeted with disappointments nearly every day of your life, but they do not have to defeat you. Everyone in this life fails. Everyone recognizes the failures of others, but when we fail, that doesn't mean that we are failures. That doesn't mean that someone else can be considered a failure for the rest of their lives. Failure and disappointment, those things do not have to defeat us. That we can make it through those disappointments, we can handle them, we can move on. I want us to first tonight talk about some common disappointments, some disappointments that we're most often confronted with. And number one of common disappointments, think of that word, all the main points tonight start with the letter C. So we'll start with common disappointments. The first one is our own failings. We're probably most often confronted with the disappointment in our own failings. That starts very young. Young people growing up, of course, they don't know, they've never felt disappointment before. They don't know how to deal with that, so they cry a lot. They're disappointed they didn't get the snack. They're disappointed they didn't get that thing off the shelf at the toy store. They're disappointed their friend couldn't come over and play with them, and all those types of things. And it's good that they start learning that because it keeps going for the rest of their lives. They're disappointed so often, and not just what's going on around them, but what they cannot do, their own failings. Much more serious case of this, of course, in Matthew chapter 27. When Judas realized that he had failed greatly, that he had betrayed Jesus, and he had sold Jesus, so to speak, for 30 pieces of silver. And when he was confronted with that fact and disappointment in himself, we know what he did. He took the 30 pieces back to the chief priests, he threw them at their feet, and then he went and killed himself. He let disappointment in himself defeat him. He didn't have to let that happen. He didn't have to do that. But we are so often disappointed in our own failings. We get very down on ourselves. We do think that we are failures simply because we have failed. But of course, we're also disappointed in the failings of others. That's the second common disappointment, in how others fail, not just ourselves. There are so many cases in the Bible when you had two faithful people disappointed in each other. How about when Paul was so disappointed in Peter, because when Peter was with the Gentiles, he acted like a Gentile. When the Jews came around, he would distance himself from the Gentiles. Paul said, you act aloof. Like, oh, what are you talking about? Yeah, I'm one of you. He would go back and forth. He wasn't being genuine when he was with the Gentiles and genuine when he was with the Jews. In Galatians chapter 2, we read a lengthy passage about that disappointment Paul had in Peter. He said, you're not presenting the gospel, living the gospel the way it should be lived. How about the disappointment Jesus had so often in Peter? He said, I don't want you to go to the cross. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Think about how disappointing he was when Peter denied him three times, something Jesus said, I know you're going to do it. It's going to happen. You're going to deny that you even know me. And Peter did that. He was around that fire that night. And they kept asking him, you're one of those 12. He said, I'm not. You're one of those men who was with Jesus. No, I'm not. And said that he got so frustrated, he cursed. I don't know how that was. Probably not anything we say today, but was strong in his language. And he said, I don't know who you're talking about. Imagine the disappointment after 3 years of being with Jesus. How disappointed he was to know that that's what Peter was going to do. And of course, the great disappointment Jesus would have had with Judas. We can go on and on looking in the Bible of how one person was disappointed in someone else. Common disappointment in our own failings. Common disappointments in the failings of others. We also have disappointment in our lack of talents and resources. It's not just that we're disappointed when we fail to do something. We also get disappointed that we can't even start. That we don't have something somebody else has. They say, they're so much smarter than I am. That's disappointing. They're stronger than I am. They're better looking than I am. They get more attention than I do. And there's nothing I can do about it. I wish I was like somebody else. I wish I had what they had. If I only had what they had, then I would have a better family. I would have a better life. I'd have a better job, whatever the case may be. In the Bible, we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 how the Christians there in Corinth were so disappointed that they couldn't have the miraculous gifts that some had. And it caused strife in the church. He said that they were really just essentially envious of those who did those special things, like speak in tongues, that some could do. And so Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, look, God distributes gifts. Not everyone does the same in the church. We know those particular gifts have passed from this earth with the apostles, and those whom they designated are all dead. But even today, of course, there's diversity of talents and resources among God's people. God did not give everyone the same talent. God did not give everyone the same resources. God did not put everyone in the same place in this earth. He didn't put everyone to live at the same time. Instead of saying, why don't I have what somebody else has? Why don't we say, I'm thankful God gave me this, because I know it's exactly what God wanted me to have. Because I can assure you that if you look at someone else and say, I wish what I had what they had, there's somebody looking at you saying the same thing. But there's also not just common disappointments, but we also have some common statements that are comments, rather, that create quite a bit of disappointment in this life. So we often said, I've said this, talked about this many times here, but people say, I can be anything I want to be. That's a statement that sets somebody up for disappointment. Because we can't. We've just made that point. God didn't give every person here all the talents and all the ability to do anything they want to do. When you say, I can be anything I want to be, or tell someone else that, you're setting yourself up for great disappointment. We also know that at times we can be so narrow-focused in our own families and think about what others do compared to our own families, and we can get to the point we look at our own children and say, my child will never do that. My son will never do that. My daughter will never do that. I see other children do that, other families, but all that will never happen in my family. We've said before, when you start saying that, that's probably about the time when those things are going to start happening. When you put things in cruise control, when parenting goes into autopilot, you say, oh, no, my family, my children, never be like those others that do those things. Anybody on this earth, because we're all susceptible to sin, we all have sin, we are capable of doing just about anything when it comes to sin. And you say, well, I'll never do this, I'll never do that, my child never do this, I'll never do that. Have they ever been in the situation to do that? Have they ever been in an environment that would make it very easy for them to do that? Probably not. But they might be one day. We are all capable of doing just about anything when it comes to sin. You're setting yourself up for disappointment when you say, oh, that will never happen. Another comment that goes along with being disappointed. People say, I'm going to marry at this age, I'm going to make this much money, I'm going to live in this house, I'm never going to get sick, and I'm going to die an old person in my sleep very peacefully. When you start dictating how your life is going to go, you'll soon realize that it didn't work out that exactly the way you wanted it to go, and you're going to be disappointed. Life is very unpredictable. We talked a little bit about that this morning. We're not good at predicting the future. We're very bad at it. We should plan things. We should consider the future, make plans for the things that may go on, but understanding, as James told us, we ought to think, if the Lord wills, we're going to do this or that. We talked about common disappointments. We talked about comments that create disappointment. Now let's think about some causes, some real causes of disappointment. Again, in James chapter 4, number one is unrealistic expectations. unrealistic expectations. You know, James chapter 4, when he says, he ended a passage by saying, your boasting is sinful. Now, why did he end a passage talking about the boasting of man? He talked about, he said, how you view the future. When you say, I'm going to go to such and such a city, I'm going to sell something, I'm going to make a profit. He said, all such boasting is evil. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we're going to do this or that. How much better would life be if you really said that every single day? If you had that in your phone, if you keep your schedule in your phone, and many people do, if you have it on a notepad, if you have it on a post-it note that you put on the bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator, what if you saw that phrase every day, if the Lord wills? I think you'd avoid a lot of disappointment in life. I think when something goes wrong, you would say, well, that's okay. I can handle that. I know I wrote it down. I know I planned it, but that doesn't mean that it's going to go that way. If the Lord wills, my plan that I made is going to happen. So unrealistic expectations cause quite a bit of disappointment in life. Number two, what are the causes of disappointment? Well, failing to do your best is the second cause of disappointment. When we spend so much time thinking about what other people have and we don't think about what we do have, then we won't do our best. We won't do our best. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Colossians says that whatever work we do it for the Lord. Well, that'll change the way you do your job every day. If you look at it as, I'm not doing this job for my supervisor that works down the hall. I'm not doing this job for the boss. I'm not doing it for the CEO. I'm not doing it for the customer that walked in. I'm doing this job for the Lord. I can assure you, if that's how you see your job every day, the CEO is going to be happy, your supervisor is going to be happy, the customer is going to be happy. Your work environment is going to get a lot better. It is easy not to do our best in life, not to do things fully, not to do things for the Lord, do it for some other motivation. It's hard to be disappointed when you go to bed at night, when you know you've done your best. You've done everything you can to be the best father, the best mother, the best wife, the best husband, the best worker, the best neighbor. You start thinking about what others need instead of what others have, you know you're doing your best for the Lord. When you start thinking about what others need and not what others have, you know you'll be doing your best for the Lord. You won't be disappointed. Third, what is another cause of disappointment in life? Number three is having a horizontal view of life. When you just look out horizontally, when you look this direction, when you just see all that is around you, it's so easy to be disappointed. I mean, somebody suggested once that a good thing to do is not to look at headlines, not look at the news. Don't do any of that till afternoon, after 12 o'clock every day. Unless there's something you just have to know that affects your day in some way, avoid looking at anything like that till noon. And so why is that? He said, because so many people today, again, because our phones are so convenient and you can access news so quickly, one of the first things they do when they get up in the morning is grab the phone and just start seeing headline after headline. And we know that the journalistic standard, that famous axiom of journalism is, if it bleeds, it leads. The bigger the tragedy, the bigger the headline. The tragedy goes first. The heartache goes first because that gets the most attention. You say, how come there aren't any good news stories? How come it's just tragedy? That's the way journalism works. they figured out more people are going to look, more people are going to read if it's negative. So maybe that's a good rule of thumb to incorporate. Say, you know, I don't want to have this just horizontal view of life, and all my thoughts and concerns are just the things that are here, the tragedy, the heartache. I'm going to do what Colossians chapter 3 says in the first two verses. I'm going to set my mind on things above. I'm going to have a vertical view of life. It's hard to be disappointed on a daily basis when you can look up and think about heaven. Think about the Lord. Think about what Jesus did for you on the cross. Think about the fact your sins are washed away. That's hard to have a bad day. It's hard to be disappointed in that. Just a few more minutes and we'll be finished. Let's think about the cures. The last C word this evening about disappointment. What does the Bible say are some cures for this? When you find yourself disappointed, and you find yourself being disappointed day in and day out to the point where it's really starting to change your personality a little bit. It's changing your mood all the time. Well, first of all, be patient. Be patient. We said that our own failings are a common disappointment and the failings of others. Why don't you be patient with yourself and be patient with others? If you try to do something, if you try to do anything for the first time, you are very, very, very likely to fail. Nobody, you think of the greatest guitarist in the history of the world, they didn't just pick up a guitar one day and start playing like the way you hear them play. Nobody in any field, in anything, did it right the first time. But it's easy for us to say, well, I can't do it because it didn't work the first time. Well, of course it didn't work. There's that famous quote from Thomas Edison when his house had burned down. And everybody was distraught. He had all these experiments of all these types of things he was inventing. And they said, you know, in there were tens of thousands of experiments. He said, no, those are just all the ways I found out to do it wrong. He just said, no, that's good. It's good that those things are gone. It's good that I failed that many times. Because now I'm figuring out all the ways it shouldn't be done. And so every time that happens, it makes me closer and closer and closer to getting it just right. We have to be patient. We're never going to get it right the first time. We also have to, number two, in a cure for disappointment, we have to forgive. We have to forgive ourselves. And Jesus said in the great model prayer that he forgives us as we forgive our debtors. It's hard to be disappointed. Again, we'll face disappointment so often. When someone disappoints us and we forgive them, then that burden is lifted off of us. Forgiveness is not so much something that's done for someone else. Forgiveness is about something that's done for ourselves. It helps us move on. It helps us leave those things in the past. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and so many others tell us to be consistent, constant in our forgiveness. Number three, in a cure for disappointment, as we learn from prior disappointments, as we said, Thomas Edison did that. We learn from our mistakes. And finally, the final cure for disappointment is that we focus on the one who will never disappoint you. You're disappointed in yourself. You'll be disappointed in other people. You'll just be disappointed in your children. You'll be disappointed in the people at work, people at school, your teammates. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't have off days. He doesn't have times he goes on vacation and abandons you. The Bible says he's consistent. Romans chapter 8 says, with all the terrible things that can happen to someone in this life, that we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And then Paul asked the rhetorical question, who will separate us from the love of Christ? He'd also say, what will separate us from the love of Christ? As we're disappointed and our hearts are broken, as we are so upset by the things going on in this life, we know that his love never changes. When you focus on the one who cannot disappoint, you'll find that your days will be better. You'll be able to handle disappointment better. You'll see yourself differently. You'll see others differently. Be patient. Forgive. Learn from your disappointments. And focus on the Lord. Even in an unusual situation tonight, with the lights out, the storm still in the area, things are a little bit different, but what is not different is the fact that God still extends his invitation. That's not dependent upon certain weather, it's not dependent on a certain time of day, it's not dependent on anything else, but your willingness to respond to it. So we encourage you tonight, if you haven't become a Christian, to respond. We'd love to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need prayers tonight, we can pray with you also. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing together.